This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, back to another episode here on the Mindful Experiment. I hope tomorrow, each and every one of you in the United States or who celebrates the Independence Day of the United States, that you may have an awesome time, be safe, have some amazing food, and create some awesome memories. I know I'm looking forward to just enjoying having gratitude for what the freedoms, the life we have, all the goodness that's in our lives, and just to really reflect and enjoy and embrace all that. So this week, I had a great interview with Dr. Aliya Gorgoris, and what a great conversation we had. I know you guys are going to find some value in this. I love this stuff, as you already know. If you've been a subscriber of the podcast, you know I'm big into these things. But we talk all about practicing self-care, which is going to help with consistently to maintain your physical, your emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. We get into the aspects of listening to your intuition and acting on the guidance you receive. So critically important. This is the thing I love talking about. He gets into the depths of like being flexible, how to adapt when you're facing challenges. We talk about the palm tree, pretty cool story about the palm tree, highly recommend listening to it to get to that part. And the importance of a positive mental avenue, collaborating others when you need help, and taking action to do something to help others, and how critically important that is. And I share some neuroscience with him on it, or I just add to what he's already talking about. So this is a good one for you to really, you know, a stage of where we are in life and where life is going and the energies and all that stuff, whether you believe in the stuff or you don't. It's, I mean, it's scientific, but it's knowing that the more we can tap into us and ourself and really trust and really understand that there's really, fear is all created in the mind. It's never what you think it is. Usually never ends up being that. And how to really adapt to the challenges, because we don't have problems. If you state that, then you really do have problems. But if we change the word to challenge, it's challenging us. And every challenge just helps us grow. And we just need to take time within to help overcome. So I love this interview. I know you will find tons of value here. So I'm really excited to share my conversation that I had with Dr. Aliya Gorgoris. Dr. Aliya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Vic. It's a pleasure.
Oh, I'm excited to have you on, excited to dive deep into your work and what you've been doing. And I think we're going to share some really important information that I think a lot of people are going through and to give them some support. So I'm excited. Before we get into that, though, tell me a little bit how you got into what you're doing today. Like, what was that journey like?
Well, the journey started a very long time ago, as you can tell. So I was, born in Athens, Greece, and my family moved to Santa Monica, California when I was 10 years old and did all my schooling there. I went to UCLA and ended up getting my PhD in clinical psychology. In the first half of my career, actually, I was a clinical psychologist in private practice. I loved the first 16 years, and then I got burned out and cost me quite a bit of my health, and I had to jump ship in a ways, and it started the second half of my career, which was leadership training and development, executive coaching. And I didn't know anything about the corporate world at the time, but it was a natural fit. And I had a good friend of mine that said, your skill set, your EI, emotional intelligence, and your communication skills, you'd make a great executive coach. At the time, I didn't know. I thought coaching was like baseball and soccer that I was doing with my kids. I had no idea what he was talking about. This is a long time ago. Anyway, and, I lecture and I write, and about 9 years ago, I wrote a book called Seven Paths to Lasting Happiness, and that became a number one bestseller, to my great surprise, actually. I didn't anticipate that, and it's been translated into four or five languages, including Greek, so I'm really proud of that, obviously. And that opened up a lot of doors to travel and to speak about happiness and wellness, and I'm really passionate about those things. And fast forward to the pandemic, I had an actual download. Like it came, like, you know, I call them downloads, you know, God speaking to you, the Holy Spirit, your intuition, your higher self, whatever you call that still small voice. And it was as loud as I'm talking to you right now. And it was on March 15th of 2020. So this is at the very, very beginning of the pandemic. And the voice said, there's going to be an epidemic of mental health issues as a result of the pandemic. So you need to write a book and you need to get out in 45 days, which was absurd because my first book took 4 years to write. I'm like, what the heck? I can't get a book out in 45 days. But there was an urgency. There was, I just felt it. So I called my brother and my best friend, Coach Khan, and I said, listen, I got to write this book. I can't do it on my own. Will you help me? And man, he said, you're on, brother. And literally, Dr. Vic, for 45 days, we did nothing else but write, morning, noon, and night, just the two of us, just like, phew. And the book came out, Seven Keys to Navigating a Crisis, you know, how to navigate life and how to emotionally deal with pandemics and other disasters. And what's really interesting, that initially we wrote it for just the everyday person, just to help. It's a how-to book, in essence. A manual is a very short book. What we didn't anticipate is that organizations and companies started reaching out. And the first one actually was from New York City. If you remember, New York in at the early 2020 was ground zero in the United States. And Bank of America reached out. One of their executives says, Dr. Ilya, we have about 1,000 employees in New York. They're all working remote. And they're struggling from post-traumatic stress, depression, anxiety. Some of them have lost loved ones already, or they've gotten sick themselves. And we just don't know what to do. Would you share some thoughts? So I did. And that kind of almost kind of became viral. I mean, it was, you know, obviously I couldn't fly to New York. Everything was shut down. And it resonated. And, you know, the end result of that is afterwards, they said, you know, this is exactly what we needed. We're going to make this available to all 200,000 employees of Bank of America, which was like, and so from then on, you know, being promoted to 150 what happened after that, and throughout the world, because the things that I shared with you and I'll share with you today is how can we navigate successfully? At the time, it was a crisis. The crisis has passed in a lot of ways, but we're certainly the life's challenges and still maintaining our happiness, because that's the key, right? So I've been speaking of that for the last 2 or 3 years. Pandemic is long gone, but the challenges remain for us.
I love that. And I love when you're talking about downloads. I love when you're talking about, you know, yeah, 45 days telling you got to write this book, right? my third book, I was in the process of, I'm originally from Chicago. So I was moving to out of state to move to Knoxville. I'm closing a business down. We're my wife's pregnant and we're moving. And I get this thing that comes to me and just says, your third book's ready to be written. And I'm like, have you seen what's going on in my life right now? I don't have time to write a book right now.
Right.
And so I fought it and it would not leave my mind. Cause when this happened to my other first two books and other things that I do in life, it just will not, it's like a fly that just doesn't leave you alone.
Exactly.
Right. And so it was one of those things where eventually I thought of a title. And I was like, great. I said, well, if this is really meant to be, I'm going to send it to the guy who does my covers. And if he nails this on the first shot, I'm like making a deal with whoever I'm talking to. I said, if he nails it on the first shot, I said, I'll write the book. Nailed it on the first shot. I guess we're writing a book. But then the interest went away. No, like it was totally gone. And then 3 months later, it came back and said, no, the book needs to be written now. And I was like, okay, we'll get it done. And it just comes to you, and you're right. You said 45 days, you're writing this book, day, noon, and night. All of a sudden, here it is, and look what happened. So I love that because I talk a lot about that in many ways on my podcast and a lot of things I do where there's this divine timing. You call it whatever you like, but there's this moment in time. You had a feeling. You knew you had to follow it. It was a voice that came to you, right? And there's probably a feeling that tied with it.
Yes.
And right, and then you just said, I had to go this way, and look what happened out of it. You didn't anticipate the things that showed up later. And it's one of those things that I just love that story. And so I appreciate you sharing that. I think when you look at the pandemic, I think it really exposed the light on mental health. I mean, you're more of an expert on this than I am, but I see it in ways. I knew we had mental health issues. We were declining year after year after year. COVID comes. I remember when it was coming around the corner. I started warning my patients in February of 2020, like, hey, there's this thing that's going to happen. I know it's not being talked about too much right now, but just get ready for this. And I want to make sure I was at that time, I was doing coaching for business owners and mindset and all the stuff that I do now. And I was like, I'm going to share for the first time ever, I'm going to cross over what I do there to help you guys as much as possible. Because I was like, mental health is going to tank. And it has. Right. And I think what we're seeing now is just, it's like you said, the issues are still here, even though the pandemic's gone. What are some things that, how can people, you know, I think we're all facing crisis. I think this is an election year in America, so it's going to be, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to be played on that. So things are going to show up. I feel like we still have some more to go through. What are some ways to, or tools, I'll leave this to you on how to want to explain this, but how to help navigate through a crisis? What are the first couple things that we can do so we don't freak out, react, and go into panic mode?
First of all, before I address that, let's address you and I get the downloads. In my experience, because I've been downloading stuff for a very long time, for decades, it's one of the few absolutes in life for me. Every time I've heard that voice, and again, whatever, if it's not a religious thing, it could be the spirit, it could be your intuition, your higher self, but you have to get quiet and listen to it. Every time I've downloaded something and I've acted on it, it has always worked out. But I'm not a perfect human being, especially when I was younger. There were plenty of times when I downloaded stuff and I ignored them. Guess what happens when you ignore that? Your life gets worse until you get, it's painful. So I've learned now, when I was younger, I used to ask why too, you know, why? And I'm like, I don't ask why anymore. I trust that voice so much that if I download, I'm going to do it. And I do it immediately and things always work out. So that's something, it actually helps in our life if we, but you have to get quiet though. So that's something that's kind of one off, but I just trust it. That's all I can tell you. Now,
I can totally relate to that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
No, I was just going to say, it's funny when you're like, yeah, your life gets worse. It's like, I can't tell you how many times when I have ignored it, like literally they'll be like, hello, they'll like, hey, dum-dum, don't you, are you not waking up yet? Like we're trying to, how many more slaps in the face do you need?
That's exactly right. So I've just learned just not even not to ask why anymore. I just trust it. And then you do it. And then when you look back, say, now I know the reason for the download. Anyway, back to navigating. So what we discovered as in writing the second book is that human beings fall into like four categories, either four personality types or four ways of reacting to the challenges or crisis that we face. And the first one, you know, we call the victim. And the victim is, why is this happening to me? Poor me. As if it's only happening to you, not 8 billion other people. But that's what they do. You know, the orchestra comes out and the violins are playing and it's poor me and they get down and depressed and, you know, and so on. The second one is the critic. Now, the critic will criticize and blame anyone and everyone about what's happening. The government, the World Health Organization, their boss, their spouse, it doesn't matter. They're into blame and they're angry and frustrated. Then we get to the third one, which we like to call, it's almost like the bystander, somebody who stands on the sidelines, who mind you, a good person, but they're overwhelmed by all the challenges and changes they are facing, that they have the deer with the headlights look. They're frozen in fear, so they don't know what to do. And clearly, all three of these approaches or personality types don't move the needle forward to some kind of positive resolution, right? Either I get mad, I'm afraid, or it's poor me. Then we get to the fourth type, which we call the navigator. And the navigator does certain things on a consistent basis and navigates through life's challenges. And not only does it in a beautiful way, but they're still maintaining their happiness, their relationships, their engagement, and so on. But before we go on and say, what does navigator do specifically? And this is really important. It's not like Dr. Vic and Dr. Ilya, we're the navigators and you are the, it's not like that. All human beings have all four of those within themselves. We all have all those different types. So the key here is, I'll give you an example. With the pandemic, that March, the same March of 2020, in 1 week, when things shut down, all my speaking engagements all over the world got canceled within a week. Email after email after email. I'm sorry to inform you, sir, the conference has been canceled. I'm sorry. So initially, did I have the deer with the headlights look? You're darn right I did. I'm like, what the heck? Like my whole year is like gone, right? And did I feel like I was supposed to speak in Barcelona in October 2020 and I've never been there. I hear it's beautiful and I was so excited. it got canceled. And I did have the, you know, the victim. Poor me. I've all, you know, poor me, right? Actually, the conference happened, and but it was on Zoom. Well, that's not the same as being in Barcelona. It's not the same. Anyway, long stories. And were there times during the pandemic and the way that perhaps the government or the world was handling it, I had some issues with it, I would get mad? You're darn right. But if, Dr. Vic, if I stay mad or angry for the next 6 months, who am I hurting? Them or me?
Yeah.
If I play the victim mode and I get down and depressed and I stay there indefinitely, who am I hurting? Them or me? So the key is, feel your feelings. If you want to get mad, do it. Vent, do it for 30 minutes, and then pivot and become a navigator. Even if you're afraid, feel your fear. It's okay. It's normal. It's human nature. But don't stay stuck there for the rest of your life. Pivot and become a navigator. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. So now, what do navigators do? And the key here is that they do it consistently. First and foremost, they practice massive self-care. Self-care is a non-negotiable for navigators. So they take care of themselves physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and they do it on a consistent basis. So that's number one. And if we had more time, we could go more into what self-care looks like. That could be another episode, but you know what self-care. I mean, that's the other thing is that they do listen to that still, small voice. That's the other thing. They're very open to receiving that information, then acting on it. The other thing is that they're flexible and adaptable. And I use the analogy of the oak tree and the palm tree. You know, oak trees are these beautiful, magnificent trees. I'm sure you have them in Knoxville, Tennessee. They're beautiful trees.
Yep.
Massive, tall.
7,500 feet tall. It's crazy.
Yeah, beautiful and majestic and stable, and they're beautiful. However, if there's enough rain and enough saturation on the ground and enough wind, what happens to oak trees oftentimes? You see that in hurricanes all the time.
They'll fall.
They come crashing down on cars, people, homes. That's what happens to them. On the flip side, palm trees, you know, they're exotic and tropical. They're kind of, you know, they're cute. At the peak of the storm, and now I want you to think about the storms of life. At the peak of the storm, the palm tree will just like bend. Sometimes it's bent parallel to the ground. But when the storm passes, and every storm passes, physically and symbolically, guess what happens to palm trees? Whoop, up they go. So the call to action is, when you're facing challenges, be a palm tree, don't be an oak tree. And I have shared this message throughout the world, and people say, well, that's a cute story. I'll kind of remember that, be a palm. But in real life, honestly, what does an oak tree look in human form? Mm-hmm. And an oak tree is someone who says, you know, well, this is who I am. That's how I've been for the last 20, 30 years. I'm not going to change now. We hear all the time. People do that, and organizations do that. And oak trees are beautiful when things are going well. It works. And what you've been doing as an oak tree mentality has worked up to that point. But it doesn't work when you're facing serious challenges. And you will break. Right? So I think we need to just be flexible and adaptable in life. And don't try to control. There's so many things we don't control. Are there things we do control? Yes. And navigators have one of those. And that's having a positive mental attitude. We do control our attitude, no matter what we're facing. Right? And as a result of that, navigators have the big picture perspective. Like the camera pulls back, it's like, these two shall pass. We'll figure it out. Navigators are also collaborative. Like if they can't figure, they don't have an ego in the classic sense. They're more like heart-centered. Like they listen to their heart a lot. And if they feel like I'm kind of overwhelmed myself, they seek out help. They're not stubborn. I've got to figure it out on my own. I can navigate as much as I can on my own. But if I reach a certain point and I'm not sure, I'm going to pick up the phone and say, Dr. Vic, can you help me, you know, get to the other? Like, I'm close. I've done as much as I can. They don't have an ego that says, no, I got to figure this out on my own and I'm not going to ask anybody for help, because then you get stuck.
Yep.
And ultimately, navigators take action, which is the other thing, right? Because I think in life, Dr. Vic, it doesn't matter what we know. What matters is what do we do with what we know. Don't we all know what the right thing to do? Don't we all know that we should get enough sleep and moderate exercise and eat healthy? We all know that. Do we do it? right?
Exactly.
So what matters is what do we do with what we know? And then the last thing that I will share with you is that as a result of them taking care of themselves, their batteries are full for the most part. They lend a hand to others. They look around. So they perform not random acts of kindness, but conscious, mindful, and deliberate acts of kindness to others. And just on a personal note, anytime I'm kind of down a little bit, you know what the quickest way for me to get out of that is? To go and help somebody else. And the minute I do that, I may be kind of cranky on the way to helping somebody else because I'm in a bad mood. But when you do that and you see the impact that it has and then you come back, you feel so good about it. You almost like you forget yourself a little bit. So that's kind of on a short way. That's how we can navigate successfully whatever challenges we're facing and maintain our happiness and wellness.
Now, I love that. That last part is, I always tell people too, from a neurological perspective, it's like when you're down or depressed or, you know, whatever it may be, go do something for someone else. Like you won't be in that state no more. You're going to activate a certain part of the brain and then you just can't be. And so I love that part. And I love how you navigate things through. Because in my head, when you're sharing all four and we have them all, my question came to me is like, why do certain ones show up in other, like in certain areas of your life as a victim versus, being the critic? And is it just random for everybody and how they are? Is there an upbringing thing or something along that nature?
No, it's definitely an upbringing thing. It's oftentimes, you know, let's say my parents were both like into victimhood, you know, and that's what the behavior that was modeled or whatever. So I'm just want to make people aware that they are different personality types. It's okay that if you have those, it's okay if you experience those. You don't want to stay there though. You have a choice. Be a victim. Get mad from time to time. It's normal. Even fear is normal. Okay. But you don't want to live there. I live in navigation mode and my call to action is be a navigator in life and see what happens.
I love that because it sounds like have an open mind, you know, and trust your intuition and let that like guide you along the way. Take action. You don't have to have everything figured out, right? Just take action and go forth. Is that, I'm kind of picking up what a navigator kind of does.
And also the flexibility aspect, be adaptable. Yes. And flexible. It doesn't always have to come the way that you expect it to. How many times in life, you know, have we thought this is the way I want to do it? And the voice or whatever, like, no, this is the way you got to go. You're like, Dr. You got to write your third book now. And you're like, I don't think so. Have you seen my life? And like, I mean, you just said it. You did it too. You bargained with the voice.
Oh, yeah, I did. I was like, hold up here. And it's so funny how that just comes. And I love when you brought the palm tree up too, because I remember when I experienced a tropical storm in Cancun one time. Man, I never seen much rain hit so fast, so quick. But it was crazy to see the palm trees parallel. And I was like, holy cow. So I love that analogy. As soon as you said oak tree, palm tree, I'm like, I know where he's going with this one. I like it. But it's true. You have to be flexible. I think that's a big thing. Like you were just sharing at the end, even in my own life, I was like, oh, this is where my life needs to go. This is the direction I need to go. This is how I'm going to get there. Here's what I'm going to do. And yeah, life, the voice, all of that was like, when you're going to give up that gift? When you're going to give that up? You think you know better than all that's out there. Like we're seeing all angles and you want to think you have the best angle. Talk right about an ego. And eventually when I finally gave in and then, you know, time goes by, you're like, you see the greatness that shows up and you're like, oh man. And then that's why I said, they'll be like, hey, dumb. See, we're just trust us.
I love
Shut that mind off and just trust us and go with it and just trust your feelings. And actually that is what I teach all my clients. I try to teach them to get out of their heads, trust their intuition and trust that feeling, however it shows up. And when you can do that, that is what I call, you're talking about navigator. I call that your soul's navigator. It navigates you to where you need to be.
There you go.
In your life. So I love that. For the listeners, for your books and all the great work that you're doing, how can they find your books, follow you, all the work you're doing, and so much more?
Thank you. You know, DrElioGrigoris.com, there's my website. You can pretty much find anything. The books are both on Amazon, 7 Paths to Lasting Happiness and 7 Keys to Navigating a Crisis. And on LinkedIn, I think the Happiness Doctor, Dr. Ilya Grigoris, you'll find me on LinkedIn. Those are the best places.
And for everyone listening, I will have that in the show notes. Make sure to get the book. I believe what he shared today and what he has in his book is going to be absolutely necessary. Even if you are not going through a crisis right now, those are tools you want to have for whatever may come. Doc, I appreciate it. Appreciate all you're doing and the work you're doing and taking time to share with us here at the Mindful Experiment.
Thank you so much. And the best part is you and I sharing a couple of laughs, man, because that life is too short. If you're not laughing, you're not learning. That's what I think, actually. If you're not laughing and being open in your heart, then you're not learning. So be open. And don't take yourself too seriously. Like Dr. Vic and I clearly don't.
It's a work in progress still to this day. But yes, I agree with you on there. And you got to have fun along the way, because if you're not, there's no point in doing it. That's what I always say.
And the last thing I will say to your audience is do not procrastinate your happiness. Think about that.
That's a good one. All right, we're wrapping up on that one. Doc, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing it with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.